now versus 75?
Don't remember the details of that time, but we are in good shape with products. The products we have are selling well, and we have new ones coming along that very soon will replace many of those. So we're in good shape with products. Be very good shape in a few months.
Follow on. Will the initial delivery of all these products be very soon after their introduction?
The question concerns deliveries after introductions of the new products.
Some will be delivered soon, and some not for quite a while afterwards. and some of them, the nature of them is we have to announce, sometimes we have to announce the whole pattern of projects in order to give the customer the whole view.
Way in the back. The question concerns the efficiency pickup, or I guess slowing down of net adds, and the effect upon margins, considering slower revenues.
Up until now, almost everything has been favorable. What happens in the future, we don't know. You know, for a while, things get better. If you get hurt much more, they'll go down. So we don't know what's going to happen the next couple of quarters. But most likely this day won't change an awful lot. But we don't know what's going to happen.
Mike?
Ken, one subject you commented on 2.5 years ago and you didn't comment on today is the Japanese. Last time you were here, you had some long-term potential direct worries about them. You just mentioned it. Can we include that song in the soul?
Please speak about the Japanese.
I thought you were getting tired of the Japanese. They're very important as a challenge to us. We as Americans sometimes get so involved with doing things. We keep increasing staff and doing things. Taking care of the financial market and all the overhead things, you know. The Japanese make products. So it's good for us to have the Japanese. It's always a good way to test our plans. Our attitude is that we have a tremendous head start. We have the potential of building almost anything in the Far East. We have plants in Taiwan, Hong Kong, and soon Singapore. Soon a new one in Singapore. We have something there now. And we have the advantage of buying anything we want in Japan. We have a purchasing office there. And we can work with the Japanese and any other product. We also are in part of the country which doesn't have labor rates much different from the Japanese. Then we have an enormous background of experience, which makes a big difference in this business. Sometimes I find that hard to explain, except when we're going into something new, which there's nobody else done it right, and we have been in there, I realize how the Japanese feel going into our market. We have all this background and experience, and we have the market base. And then we have the sales force, and we have the large service organization. I think we have 20,000 service people. And we have all the assets. Now, with that, we should win. We have no excuses. We can't blame anything on their banking system, or we can't blame anything on anything there. So it's all our game. And we're not planning to lose. And you should fire me if we do, but that's our attitude.
Paul?
Speaking of returns and efficiencies, Ken, are you satisfied that your return on equity, which has been running about 17% or so for the last 5 years, give or take a point, is adequate for the type of growth company you have been and expect to be in the future?
Our ambition is significantly higher than that, and we think we'll do better than that. Yes, our new ideas and ambitions on efficiency pay off directly in that area.
A fairly near-term payoff? I don't mean next quarter, but I mean the next year or two. Would that be forthcoming from these products?
If the economy would stay level like it was, say, this last year sometime, I think you'd see it pay off quite well. I won't predict anything what's going to happen to our recession in the next two or three or four quarters.
The question concerns itself with the broadband baseband debate.
I haven't thought much about the different systems, but most of you will complain, wanted the system to do things that it wasn't really designed for. If you set up a system to communicate data, it may not be the best way to send television pictures around. Above all, you want convenience and reliability. And when you television pictures, you probably do that for a limited number of nodes, and you're better off sending television some other way. Ethernet is the only slick, neat way of doing communications that I've seen. Some of the others I've seen that I don't pay much attention to. One of my engineers proposed it to me, and I'm not very close to it anymore. I'd throw them out of my office. One of them is like passing a message down here, whispering in his ear, and he thinks it whispers in his ear. You know, even with electronics today, I wouldn't want all my communications re-whispered all the way around the chain. So I still think it's the only slick way. Now, we didn't invent it, see, so we're not arguing from that point of view. And we have no great investment in it ourselves, except that we want the right system for everybody. Yes? Oh, I will in May.
I think we'll take the next question. Marty?
Partly because I'd get into the next step I couldn't answer, so I'll postpone until
again, then. Talking on the imponderable nature of the future, historically DAC has never had any layoffs, to my knowledge, and you've also historically had a totally salaried marketing force. You've also said, I believe, in the past that if it really got down to a terribly difficult environment, the company's financial health is the prime ingredient, and you had over $600 million last time I looked in cash. Could you philosophize a little further on whether any of those things are likely to change and what would it take to change them?
We don't think commission sales is an immoral thing. You know, I think the Pepsi-Cola man who delivers Pepsi-Cola is on a commission. It's a magnificent way of doing it. And it has to be a stable operation. Where we if you grow 40% a year, you got to reshuffle everything every year, and you lose half your sales force because half of them lose. And so just for, I like to have the same sales people around every year. So as we go into new products and new ways of selling, we could very well. No one's had any ideas yet, but we might have commission selling. We're wide open to it. I think a lot of advantages. The as far as not having layoffs, we never promised never to have layoffs. But it is common sense to avoid it from two points of view. Often, when there's someone to be laid off, it was our fault, not his. So at least for a while, we should take the lickings, not him. The other argument is, in one of the recession in the early 70s, and later on, too. Each of the recessions, people want to test me to see if I'm brave enough to have a layoff. It's like challenging me whether I know what leverage is, see? And I'm willing to take that ridicule, you see, because it's paid off to hold on to our people, not have layoffs to prove how brave I am. Sometime when it's the wise thing to do, I think we'll do it. But we have a big investment in those people. So keeping them when we know things are going to turn around and we're going to need them is good business. It's also good business to have people have confidence in us that we will not lay them off just to, in the short term, help our profit, just to maintain that investment and their faith in the company. So we will have layoffs very reluctantly, hopefully never, and we don't see that in sight at all.
Yes?
I didn't really get it. Question concerns itself, the advantages of microcomputer companies versus mini-computer companies, is that it? In any particular area? In small businesses.
The small personal home computer has done tremendous things for introducing computers to the general public and to the small businessman. There are just so many things that people learn to use a small computer with. It just changes their outlook on life. When one is getting to run his business on a computer, it's not a toy anymore. He wants reliability. He doesn't want, at the end of the day, dump everything on many floppy disks. He wants to dump it once on a hard disk and put it in a safe. He doesn't want to have to run the thing all day. He wants it to run by itself. He never wants to have a failure. When you look at a cheap television set and you get a few characters across, it's great for doing a certain amount of financial planning. But when you're going to do real financial planning, you're going to want 132 characters across. Or one of the financial houses, we can't do this one yet, wants 260 characters across. But you want quality. When you print things out, you want to look like quality. And the other motivation a small business has, which very few people can understand, but I try to explain to them, and that is, when you're a small businessman, you don't want people to know you run your business with an Apple computer. You want to look like, when we were small, we bought a Sears Roebuck drill press. We took the label off, you see. Now we have a lot of Sears Roebuck drill presses and laboratories everywhere else around, and we don't care. But we didn't. We took the label off, see? And I want us to sell some of our big disk units to small businesses, but our marketers say they want it small. I say no. They want to look like they have a real computer there. But in general, you want to do everything well. The other area is almost every small business has a large number of inventory parts. Large number, several thousand, sometimes many thousand. And that's why they want the computer. An automobile dealership, a motorcycle shop, everybody has a large number of parts. And you need a real computer, real control. I once was at dinner a year ago with a professor from MIT. At dinner, he was teasing me a little bit by saying he got this such-and-such computer. He got one at home and one for his class, and it changed his teaching. He'd been teaching for 25 years. And he was teasing me just a little bit. At the end, as we were leaving, he said, "I spent $15,000 for one that would work." And that's really what you want when you're running a business. Now, the other interesting in selling to these people, one of the things we discovered with our store in New Hampshire, New Hampshire is the most industrialized state in the country. Largest percentage of people work in industry. Most of the small businesses are in the service industry. They first of all ask about service. If you run a bulldozer or a truck or anything as a small business, you know the importance of service. When they buy a computer, they want it serviced. They're dead without it. So that's the sort of thing people want in a business. And those people are good. The other thing we learned is that it takes a small businessman to sell to a small businessman. And the other thing we learned is they talk to each other. They all know. And one will buy when the other one says, I studied it all and it works well. The other one will buy without looking. But that's what they want for small business. Yes, Paul.
Barry?
Well, I wanted to comment on Square Trans in Europe recently. If there's been any bright lights, and also on the marketing organization that you're undergoing in Europe, any specific thing you might be able to impart?
Question concerns order trends in Europe and marketing reorganization.
Europe seems to be following the U.S. Orders are down. Of course, they blame their economy on the U.S. economy. But our orders are the first approximation, without careful study on my part, just going down with ours, with the U.S.
Down versus last year or previous quarter?
Oh, down from what we had hoped to be. which is better. Not, I mean, some of my friends think that's great, but... you asked about reorganization in Europe. We're increasing efficiency in sales quite a bit by giving more and more responsibility to each country. We, through the years, just build up a lot of help in our centralized operation in Geneva. We did all our advertising from Geneva. We did all sorts of things from Geneva. And now we think it's more efficient to have them do everything in Madrid and in Oslo than have the people in Geneva do it. And out of that is coming a lot more efficiency.
Esther. What's the future of your stores?
We have all, everybody has different plans for the store. One is to mushroom the numbers, cover the country with it. Another one is to make them just demonstration centers so we don't compete with all our other channels. So somewhere in between are one of those alternatives.
We have time for one more question. No.
No.
Question concerns the evolution of DECnet and Ethernet.
No, they're not in conflict. Ethernet will not do what DECnet does. DECnet does not do what Ethernet. Before we quit, let me just tell you what Ethernet is so that all of you know. There's a few ways you could hook up a bunch of computers. One way is pretty much the way DECnet is. You have a computer controlling it all, and there's a wire going out to everybody you want to communicate to, the star form. The new IBM way, which was announced, is in a ring. You put a ring around, everybody's on the ring. But I talked to him. He looks over what I said. If there's room for his message, he puts it in. If not, he passes it on. If there is something there, he passes it on, and it goes all the way around the room. And whoever it was addressed to takes it off and uses it. There's an empty box. He puts something in and put a name on it. And when it comes around where he wants, I think that's how it operates. So there's a star and a ring. The Ethernet way is really slick. You run a wire past everybody, run a wire everywhere, and just clamp on a wire. And mysteriously, a pin sticks in the wire, makes connection in there, and it doesn't interrupt the cable at all. The ring way, you got to cut it for everybody. When you cut it, you probably got a problem. And if anywhere it's cut has a problem, you're in trouble. But even that way, you just grab hold of it, and you never disrupt anything. Anybody can grab hold of it, and you can go on forever, and it's just a slick way of doing it. And that's Ethernet. Developed and designed by Xerox, and a few of us are helping them. A few people are joining in. And a lot of other people, unfortunately, are fighting it. Yes?
What happens
Oh, Xerox? Oh, the nature of today's computer business is everybody is competing and everybody is friends and everybody is cooperating and we buy from each other and sell to each other and fight with each other. And the worst arguments, though, are just like an Ethernet. There are fights over ideas. My idea, I won't be stubborn. Idea conflicts are worse than money conflicts.
On that happy note, with everyone working together, I'd like to adjourn the meeting and thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.